Part 20, Chapter 2. A bit lost in Char's 12-foot bed, a bit tense in this echoing, empty compound, Johnny was waiting for Kerr's return. It was getting very late, and he was wondering what the delay might be. But to pass the time, he was reading. Char, in packing, had tossed out odds and ends that he hadn't cared to take back to Cyclo with him, and one of them was a Cyclo infant's History of Cyclo. Maybe from Char's own early schooling, for it said under the coverleaf, in an immature scrawl, "Char's book. You stole it, so give it back." And then below that, "Or I'll claw you." Well, Char wouldn't claw anybody now. He was dead, by Turl's thrust, quite a time now. Because Kerr had mentioned underground mines, Johnny was mildly interested to learn that the whole of the Imperial City on Cyclo and all the surrounding area was a maze of deep and abandoned shafts and drifts. As long as 300,000 years ago, Cyclo had exhausted surface minerals and had developed semi-core techniques. Some of the shafts went down as far as 83 miles, and in some cases, that was within half a mile of the liquid core. How awfully hot those mines must have been. They could only be worked by machines, not living beings. The labyrinth was so extensive that it caused some buildings on the surface to sag from time to time. He was just reading about the first interplanetary war to end mineral starvation when Kerr came back. Kerr looked a bit grave, even through his face mask.
"Dunaldine's been arrested,"
he said. Dunaldine, related Kerr, had arrived in a battle plane just at sunset and had gone to find quarters and supper. As he came out of the mess hall, two men in monkey skins with cross belts stepped out of the shadows and told him he was under arrest. A squad of several more were at a distance. They had taken Dunaldine in a ground car driven by Lars up to the big Capitol building, the one with the painted dome up in the ruined city. They pushed him into the courtroom, and the senior mayor Planet started to charge him with a whole lot of crimes, like interrupting council projects and committing war, and had then looked at him more closely and said,
"You're not Tyler!"
and had called for the guard captain, and there had been a row. Then this senior mayor made Dunaldine promise not to incite a war with Scotland over this, and had let him go. Dunaldine was back at the academy after taking Lars's car away from him, and he was all right. Kerr had had to wait to give him the message, and Dunaldine said to warn Johnny.
"It means,"
concluded Kerr,
"that they expected you to come in, and they've got their eyes out all over the place. We gotta work fast, be careful, and get you out of here as soon as we can."
Johnny and Angus ate a bit of the food Kerr had brought, and then went to sleep for 4 hours. Kerr had turned in his old room, sleeping in a breathe mask, for there was no breathe gas circulation in the general compound. They were at it again before dawn, working fast. Kerr had another disc recording of hammering and pounding, and he put it on. The kind of work they were doing didn't sound at all like duct work.